About this time in 1994, some of you weren't born. I have to confess that. So, as a student of the School of Music at Azusa Pacific University in Los Angeles, because of our participation with the Candlelight Parade in Disneyland, we received lots of tickets, free tickets for us. And I don't know what happened, but my friends at the school, they dropped a lot of tickets into my mailbox. So we had a lot of tickets. And one day, about this time, we talked with my wife and we decided to bring the kids to Disneyland and use the tickets. And then, doing the whole thing, the planning, and then I went to my youngest and I told him, David, we are going to Disneyland this Saturday. Don't tell anybody else, okay? This is just between you and me. And then he was so excited that he really wanted to jump up, but since I told him not to say anything. So I went to the next one, the middle one, and I told her the same story. You know, don't say anything, please don't say anything. And then I went to the oldest one. I told her the same story. And then everybody knew that we were going to some place, but nobody knew where. So the three of them were at the back seat, and they were almost like, you know, because they really want to say something about it. They wanted to tell anybody. And, you know, so we went to the place and then we parked across the street from Disneyland and they were, Dad! Mom! What you didn't tell us? We really wanted to enjoy the, you know, and share and then jump in, but you didn't tell anything. And when everybody started laughing and then we had a great time in Disneyland. And this brings me something to my mind, and I think that sometimes as Christians, we act as if God had asked us not to tell anybody else about who is or who we know as a Lord and Savior and the hope for this world. We have had so many years of strategies everywhere. You know, a lot of resources invested, and I don't know if that has really helped us a lot. And of course, we have many. I was part of the investment of American missionaries in Ecuador, where I met Jesus Christ. I'm Peruvian, but I met Jesus Christ in Ecuador because of the work of some missionaries, American missionaries who went over there to share with us. They didn't have any problem with the language barrier that we often talk about. But because it seems to me that they didn't have that barrier of the heart instead of language barrier. And they really loved our people, and they really loved us, and they shared with us Jesus, pure Jesus. So, so many years of strategies and church. Sometimes we invite people to our services, and they come and they feel like this is a nice place, you know, to be nice music, and some people saying something about the Bible, you know, but we have missed some things. I mean, the most important thing that is sharing Jesus. And what I see is that we talk about who we are. We talk about what we believe. We talk about our doctrines and our theologies, we talk about our worship, which is beautiful, but people is not much concerned about what we know. They really want to know who we know instead. And this is the Bible verse that comes right now, and it's John 13, 34, and 35. And I'm going to read it. You have, I think it's going to be projected as well. Jesus says in John 13, 34, and 35, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, "A new commandment I give you to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Three strong statements that we find right away. A new commandment, a new standard, and a new strategy. Think we as a church, we have lost that great opportunity to share God's love. Not our love, God's love. Sometimes our love gets in the way and we mess it up. The message is God's love. I remember one day I was with a person that I really admire a lot, I look up to, and I was sharing with this friend some things that belongs to our ministry, and suddenly I burst in tears, and I told him, "You know what? Sometimes we would love to just go to a place where we can be loved, and love is one of the things that we really miss." You know, many of us don't see in each other the need of love that we have. And I just wanted to tell my friend how much I wanted to be loved. And then I started visiting several churches and just to find a place where we can be loved. And let me tell you, we find a lot of places where we were ignored at all. Not even a hello, nothing, you know. So that wasn't a good idea. It didn't work. So, but one thing I can tell you right away, this is a place where we feel love. Even though we don't know many of you personally, but we have felt love in this place and respected. And we really appreciate that. Thank you. This is happening, this Bible verse, this passage is happening just a day before the crucifixion. And Jesus is talking to his inner circle of disciples. They were sharing ministry everywhere, and he is telling them this principle. A new commandment I give to you. They were really, they know a lot about commandments. They had like 600 and something commandments. Yeah, they knew all about commandments, and they knew also what Leviticus and Deuteronomy say about love your neighbors, love God with all your heart, all your mind. They knew that. But this thing was very new to them. A new commandment I give you. It's not like all the other commandments you have heard before. This is new. This is something very new that you have to experience. And before I keep going, I need to read something that I call the fine printing. The fine printing of a message. And I want to read it to you. It says, the knowledge of Jesus' teachings carries with it a great responsibility. It is not just about acquiring information, but also about applying that knowledge to life and sharing it with others. A greater understanding of God's word implies a greater call to obedience and action. And King James, I'm sorry, James says, in the King James translation, it says, 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, and not just, or not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. Heavenly Father, please talk to us. Please feel free to be in this place, and we know that you are here, but please, please feel free to transform, change our hearts, transform our minds. Talk to us, Lord. Amen. We used to say, this is a word that really abounds in our vocabulary. I love my cat. I love my job. I love my school. I love the Nuggets. I love Lakers. And we love so many things. And we have even different ways of expressing our love, like affection, friendship, romantic love, charity, so many things that really confuse us about love. Loving one another was indeed a part of what the Jewish knew already, and we find it in Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, as he says. Now, loving those with whom we agree or are partial to is the easy part. However, loving the rest of the folks we encounter is a much more challenging proposition. And I know it, I was an immigrant in Ecuador as a Peruvian. I was an immigrant in Ecuador. And Ecuador, for a Peruvian, on those days, was a really, really difficult place to be for a Peruvian. I felt hated everywhere. Everywhere. The only thing that's helped me to survive was that it was a good musician, and they needed me. At least in that circle, they needed me, and I was trying to do my best and to earn some money. And just because of that, they kind of respected me. Now, when I went to Ecuador, I really didn't want to be in Ecuador, not at all, because we are neighbors. Ecuador and Peru, we are neighbors. We share a front border, and we had several wars because of the border. It wasn't closed. You understand what I'm talking about. And then, As a Peruvian going through Ecuador, it feels like Jesus going through Samaritan places just to make a miracle and find a Samaritan woman and find a Samaritan leper, Samaritan thankful leper. So I passed through, I wanted to pass through Ecuador, not staying, not at all, because I didn't feel safe in that place. However, God had something different in plans. He wanted to do something in Ecuador for me that I had no idea what is going to happen. First, I met that beautiful lady over there. And then I spent the next 40-something years in Ecuador. I didn't want to stay there neither 40 hours. But it's been more than 40 years. So, and I had to think about the place and stay in that place because I had a family now. During that time in Ecuador, it was so difficult that I sometimes had to develop some sense of just to see where is danger, what is going to happen, those places, not over here, things like that. And I remember one day I was coming back from another city. It was a long, long trip. I was playing in different cities, and I went back to my home. I was on the road, and Interpol was stopping cars on the road. They were asking for documents. And at that time, I had spent almost all my money in lawyers, all my money in trying to get my documents and be, you know, a permanent resident, which I am here now. But at that time, I was trying to do my best to get my my documents in order. But I gave up, and I said, I'm not going to spend more money on this. I was stolen, I was deceived. Many things happened with my with this desire to be a permanent resident, and it didn't work. So I said, no more. I'm not going to give my money to anybody else. One day, as I said, I was on the road, and then I was stopped, and I tried to develop the ability to talk like an Ecuadorian, you know, and not only an Ecuadorian, but the Ecuadorian from the place I was claiming I was from. Oh, I think I have some water here. Thank you. And so I was stopped. And I didn't have any documents. And then the Interpol policeman, he was checking for weapons, and he called me, and he called everybody, actually. And he asked me for my documents. I said, I don't have my documents. They're at home. Okay, where are you from? I'm from this place. And I was speaking a pure Ecuadorian from her place, you know. And then he was asking me several things about the place and the, just to check if I was saying the truth. And he, at the end, he asked me, okay, sing the national anthem now. Oh my, I knew it by heart, but I started singing so loud and out of tune, and I was singing horrible, and he thought, okay, stop, yeah, just go. So he released me, and, you know, I had to develop ways to just to be safer and to be able to go home and meet my, and be with my family. Yeah, things like that. I was an immigrant, and I'm an immigrant here too. And those horrible things that happened to me, I was 3 times incarcerated just because I was Peruvian. Believe me. There was a horrible time, a horrible place at that time. But in that same place, God wanted to bless me. So I understood that it's not about the place. It's about what God does in that place, which is an important thing. And God first allowed me to meet my wife of 47 years now, and he allowed me to meet him. He had a meeting with me, myself, in Ecuador, and I had no idea that I was going to meet him. As many of us have stories about our conversion, and that was my conversion, right, in Ecuador. So Ecuador was the worst place for me, but it was the best place for me too. That things happened in Ecuador. So, one day, our daughter came from the school. Now, I was in order now at that time. Now, I got all my papers in order. I was a permanent resident. And then our daughter came from school. And one day, my daughter, the second one, asked me, Dad, is it true that you Peruvians stole us all this territory, and you did this, and you did this, and this, and this, and this? At the school, the teacher stole them at the school. That was pretty much taught at the school. It was, yeah, lovely. And the only thing I could say to my daughter was, you know what? Love your country. Love your culture. Love your flag, all that represents for you. Love your history. Love your food. Love your music. Love everything. But don't allow anybody to instill hate in you for other people. No, never. guard your heart. Don't allow anybody to do that. So, and at that time, we didn't understand. Well, I didn't understand why I was 3 times incarcerated and I was suffering all this stuff because I was a Peruvian or an immigrant in Ecuador. I didn't understand. But when we came here to Colorado to plant a church and to plant a Latino church and to plant a church with a lot of immigrants, I understood why I passed through all that painful road. Why? Why? Because I needed to understand them. Because I passed the same experiences that they might be, they could be experiencing. I was already done with those experiences and I was healed already and I knew the path to recover, and then I was able to minister to them. At that time, I didn't understand why I was incarcerated 3 times just because I was Peruvian. I didn't understand that. When I came here just to minister to them and to plant a church, I understood why. And I said, that's okay, Jesus. Please don't do it again. Please. So, Jesus passed through the same territory, being hated because he was a Jew in Samaritan territory. It wasn't easy for him. But because of love, he did it. Because of love for you and me, he did it. Because of love and hate from the Pharisees and the people in power, he suffered for us. And I, after all this time, I was able, we were able to understand people and what they were suffering. Now, please let me talk about the real love. The real love. Not just the love that we think it is, but the real love. Then an ever-challenging, progressing, and advancing love, a new love. The Pharisees were aware about this commandment, as I said, to love other people, to love neighbors. But here we are talking about a new standard, a new measure. He says, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. A new higher as standard of love. A love that is sacrificial. A love that is sacrificial. It's not love as you please, love as you want, love as you can, love as you wish, love as you want to be loved. It's love as I have loved you, Jesus says. As I have loved you. Until we love sacrificially, we will not understand how to love. As a church planter, we are, Latino church planters pretty much work in a place where they are hosted by other churches. In Covenant, Evangelical Covenant Church, we have this as a way of doing it. We find host church, and then we started bringing people. We started evangelizing. With my wife, we used to walk every single street, every single Mexican restaurant, every single Latino market, everywhere. We were just to find, to talk to people, to get connected with people. So one day, we were at a church, and we were hosted, and I talked to my wife, and I told her, you know what? It could be nice if we go a little early today, and just to connect with people, because they have coffee time before the service, and it would be nice to, you know, to connect with them, and just for them to know us a little bit. And then we said, okay, good idea, let's go. Then we went to the coffee time before the service, and there was a lady in that place at that moment. he talked to me. He said, she said, I'm sorry, Roberto, so are you going to fill this church with illegal people? And I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. And I just told her, you know what? I'm a pastor. I'm a believer. I'm a pastor. If I try to do something that is not really for me, I will do a mess. You know, if I try to be a police officer or an immigration officer, I will do a mess. You know what? Yeah. So, and I, conversely, if that police officer tries to be a pastor, he's going to do a mess. So, I'm going to do whatever I do better. I do best. And it's loving people and praying for people and helping people. Whatever it is, I will do that. And I will allow, you know, the other gentlemen do their job. I'm not going to do anything against them. But there is no law against love. So I'm going to love them. And then it was a great conversation after that. And later we became friends, you know. And it was her Spanish teacher later. But it was good. But until we talk, until we discuss, until everyone keeps her role or their role, or what they are called for, that could be nice. That could be good. We can understand each other. And that was the first demonstration of love I found. You know, so we were able to to talk about this and just understand each other a little bit better. Now, we have this another one characteristic of the love that Jesus is talking about, and we are ending here. It's a love that is visible. Love needs to be visible. It's not just the love that we define, we love that we talk. No, it needs to be visible. And I want to, next week's maybe, we have here the celebration of the anniversary, right? So we are going to invite people, right? So if we invite people, let's make sure we invite people that we are going to love. Let's make sure about that. And then this will be a great opportunity to show their love. Show their love. Show that we should show the Jesus love everywhere. Anywhere where we are, any place, in this worship service and celebration of the anniversary, anywhere, we should be ready to show this love, a love that is visible. And I want to, just before ending, I want to challenge you, and it's a challenge for myself too. Many times, as we love people, we really love people the way we want to be loved. And let's, as you practice this new love, let's try not to get in the way of Jesus loving people and making sure that the people that we are loving don't owe us anything. Let's try to do something. I mean, let's try to do it that way so that people see Jesus' love and don't see our love necessarily, but Jesus' love. Once that they see Jesus' love, we are in the safe place. Let's do this. And we all have challenges, right? How many of you have a challenge of a diet, of carbo diet challenge? How many of you? Right? Everybody's talking about that now. See, me too. Yeah. So, there is a really meaningful challenge here. To show Jesus' love instead of just our love with people. And let's try to make sure we can assess our love, evaluate what was the impact on other people. Do this. Let's do this challenge. Let's take this challenge and be and love people the way Jesus wants to be, wants to show his love. Okay, we are at the end now. When I was preparing this, I felt that Jesus revealed me several things in my way of loving people. And I was, ashamed of not being able to miss Jesus' love for people. Instead of showing, I was showing just what I could do. I was showing them just a way of helping them, you know, give them a hand and something here and there, but loving the way Jesus says, sacrificially, I was a little far from that. Believe me, I was a little far from that. So I was ashamed of this. Jesus' love challenging me today, and when I was preparing this message too. To be really intentional in showing his love. Being intentional in showing his love, not my love. And I was encouraged as well, because what love can do, Jesus' love makes everything new. Everything new. Jesus makes new, even you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share this beautiful and short and powerful passage about the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us. I feel that I'm far from that love, but I'm in the way, and I really want to be able to show your Son love for people. Not to show people what I know, what I think, all that we do, all that we are. No. Just if I love them, they will know that I'm your disciple. And that will be my safe place. Just by showing your love. And of course, that will be the beginning for other people to get to know you. And thank you for this time. And thank you for this beautiful congregation. And thank you for allowing me to be loved in this place. In your name, amen.